Today, I'll continue to share about the fourth I am statement Jesus made in the book of John. So with that, let's turn our Bibles to John 10, and we'll be reading from verses 11 to 21. John 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that it may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of a blind, can he?" Amen. So last time I shared about Jesus referring himself being the door of the sheepfold, and I went through a bit of what a sheepfold is and how the sheep must pass through him, the shepherd, when he was going in and out of the sheepfold. How Jesus was saying that he was the only way to safety and the only entry point into the kingdom of God. And also I shared how Jesus gave us one way because he wants to keep things simple for us. So today we'll continue on that passage where Jesus shared about I am statements, where he talked about he's the good shepherd. When Jesus was sharing this statement, he was still in the temple and was still sharing with the same crowd that listened to the first part of the I am the door statement. And if we just read statement, I am in English, we would miss the depth of what Jesus was saying to the crowd and the Pharisees that were standing there. But if we look into the Greek, the literal Greek of what Jesus was saying was, I am the shepherd, the good one. If we read it in this way, we can understand that there was a reference somewhere of a good shepherd and bad shepherds. So what was Jesus referring to? Actually, Jesus was referring to a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 34, which was about God himself will search for his sheep and be the shepherd. In Ezekiel chapter 34, from verses 1 to 4, it reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them." So remember, this whole situation is still a continuation of chapter 9, still in the temple where the blind man was healed, but he was excommunicated, and then he was found by Jesus and brought back into the temple. So for those that were listening, they would understand clearly the connection that is made between what Jesus is sharing and with Ezekiel 34. And obviously, it also means they would understand that who was the bad shepherd here Jesus was referring to. Jesus was sharing that the Pharisees were not shepherding the flocks and were not serving the flock. They were only serving themselves. If we continue to read Ezekiel chapter 34 in verses 11 and 12, the prophecy said, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among the scattered sheep, so will I care for my sheep and will deliver them from all places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." The crowd would also have understood that Jesus was once again stating himself as their Messiah. He was the shepherd, the good one, the one spoken about, the one that was prophesied. He was not the one that was selfish or that is feeding himself. So I hope that gave everyone a bit of a context of what Jesus was saying here as when he said that I am the good shepherd and how the crowd and the Pharisees would be receiving it. And as for today's sharing, I just want to focus on verse 11, especially on the word good shepherd and lay down his life. What Jesus actually meant when he was proclaiming himself as the good shepherd. So let's go word by word. Let's start with the word good. The word good in English does not fully explain what Jesus was trying to proclaim here. The word in Greek here used is kalos, K-A-L-O-S, which means a lot of things, which means beautiful, and preeminent, lovely, precious, commendable, admirable, honorable. And it also represents someone who is noble, pure in heart, and pure in actions. The word kalos includes all of that into one. So when Jesus was saying, "I am the shepherd," he was saying, "I am the shepherd, the beautiful one, excellent one, preeminent, lovely, noble, honorable one. I'm the one that encompasses all that, and I'm the one who cares and looks after my sheep." And again, when Jesus called himself a shepherd, once again, he was using analogies and examples in which people that were listening can easily relate and identify with. Shepherding was well known and understood throughout the biblical times. Shepherds were common in this culture and were special people who lived a very simple life. Having said that, shepherding was also a risky business, especially when the shepherds bring their sheep out of the city. There can be lions, there can be wolves, and also the treacherous layout where there will be cliffs so that there's a danger for them to slip or fall and hurt themselves seriously. So a good shepherd's job was to protect his flock and guide them through good pastures where the sheep can have plenty of food and have easily accessible water. If the sheep were fed with poor quality of grass, they can be malnourished. And one thing I learned was that sheep don't drink from quick moving water for some reason. So the shepherd has to ensure the water is flowing slowly so that the sheep can drink from it. Bringing the sheep to a good location was an important task for the shepherd, for the sheep to be healthy. And to achieve that, the shepherd had different apparels or tools that help him do the shepherding job. I'm going to share a few of them, and we'll also have a better understanding of how it relates to Jesus being our good shepherd. Usually shepherds in those days would wear a tunic that will be held together by a leather belt. On that belt, there will be, front of the thing will be a small bag or purse that keeps dry fruits, and sometimes it's used to keep small rocks, which they will use for a sling, which they also carry with them. So the purpose of the sling is quite obvious, that it is to fight away the predators. But that was not the only purpose of the sling. It was also used as an instrument to draw back the sheep that was wandering away. And then there were questions that you may ask, how is that possible? What would the shepherd do with that sling to call back the wandering away sheep? So actually what shepherd will do is he will take the sling, hurl a stone, and when sling it in front of the sheep, the sheep that was wandering away. So the moment the drop, the stone drop in front of the sheep will get alerted, and he and the sheep will get afraid and it will turn the direction or turn back to where it came from. Another item the shepherd carries with himself was oil, which is usually kept in a jar or in a horn. The oil was used to anoint the head of the sheep in the flock. The main purpose was to keep insects, fleas, the ticks off the head of the sheep to protect and stop the sheep from getting into any infections. But then there was another purpose, and the purpose was to reduce friction. To reduce friction for what? It is interesting what the sheep will do sometimes, is that they will act like goats and will start headbutting each other. So what the shepherd will do is that he will anoint the heads of those sheep when they start acting differently and start hurting each other. The oil will act as a friction reducer. So when they start headbutting each other, simply when they start to headbutt each other, because they have the oil on their head, they'll just slip off each other. And that will minimize the damage done to them. And sometimes that will stop the fighting altogether because the sheep can't just headbutt each other. So they'll just stop. And I think we all know what does the oil in the Bible represent. The Holy Spirit, right? And if we relate it to our lives, the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us is good for whatever, quote, insects, fleas, ticks that tries to distract or irritate us or wants us to be sick. Also, if we are familiar with the parable of the sheep and goat, we know sheep represent someone who is redeemed and saved, while goat represents someone who is lost. And sometimes we who are saved will act like a goat, which is lost. So when we start acting like someone who is lost or not behaving the way a sheep should have, the Holy Spirit protects us from going into friction between each other as sheep, where we will damage and hurt each other. And when we realize that we are acting like goats, we should go and ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in these circumstances. When we are anointed and walking in the Spirit, our tendency to headbutt each other as sheep or act like goat is much smaller. If you think about it, it's so amazing, right? The more we understand the culture and the way of life during Jesus' time, the more the Bible comes to life. And we see so many different layers of what Jesus was referring to and the depth that is in the Word of God. Anyway, let's continue with the shepherd's apparels. Shepherd will also carry a small club-like instrument called a rod. This also will be hanging around his belt. So the rod will be around 15 to 20 inches in length. It was used to beat away predators in case of a need of a hand-to-hand or a close combat. But then, again, same as the sling, also has another purpose. And it was used for correction. The rod is usually used for lambs because of their young age, and usually lambs have a higher tendency to wander into dangers. But that does not mean that the sheep won't wander around. But somehow, because of the young age of the lamb, the rod is usually used on them. So what happens is, if a sheep or a lamb that persistently, stubbornly, and continue to wander off into danger, sometimes the shepherd have to make this painful decision and deal severely with that wandering lamb or sheep. And he would take that rod and injure the legs so that it won't be able to walk for a while. And what the shepherd will do is he will carry the lamb on his shoulders until the legs fully healed. Some of us might have seen photos where maybe Jesus is carrying a lamb on his shoulder, and that is sometimes what it's referring to. And during the healing period, the lamb and the shepherd will spend a lot of time together. Since he's carrying them wherever he's going, So there's a bonding that takes place in between them. And after this broad encounter, the lamb or the sheep will never have the tendency to be wandering away, because there's a bond and a trust that was built during this healing process. From the shepherd's perspective, when a lamb or a sheep is chastened, injured, or have to be broken, the purpose is not brutality or give pain to the sheep, but it is to increase intimacy and a better relationship among them. Also, apart from the rod, the shepherd also carried with him a staff, a larger stick around 2 meters in height with a hook-shaped end. The purpose of the hook shape is that he will use it to pull the sheep that are nearby and that are going in the wrong direction. So what he will do if he sees a sheep that is going somewhere that he is not supposed to, so he will take the rod and then hook it back into the direction. In the book of Psalms, David referred God as the good shepherd. He said, "Your rod and staff, it comforts me." David was essentially saying, God, when you discipline me or pull me back from going in the wrong direction, it is ultimately to comfort me. It was ultimately to build intimacy with me, and it is for my good. It was to do your good work, God, in my life. And the main purpose is to protect me from being destroyed. And some of us might be going through some discipline or correction today, as the good shepherd is using his rod and staff on us. I just want to encourage everyone. This is not that the God is upset at you or something, but he wants more intimacy in this time with you. He wants to spend more time with you. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you on this. So that was all the apparel, some of the apparels that the shepherd will use. But having all these apparels is only half the requirement of being a shepherd. As said before, shepherding was a risky business, which can endanger the lives of the shepherd and the sheep. So a good shepherd had to be alert to the extent that he's willing to sacrifice himself for the sheep in case of any dangers. And that was exactly how Jesus was describing himself in verse 11 when he said, "The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep." He was contrasting himself with the hired hand who will not care the sheep's well-being at all. When there was danger, the hired hand would probably just run away to protect his own life rather than the sheep. Maybe there was when he was like taking care of the sheep, there's a wolf that came in, or a lion that came and obviously, because he's not paid, he's paid, but those sheep doesn't belong to him, and he doesn't have a relationship with those sheep and no compassion for them, he'll just say, "Oh, okay, goodbye. I have to protect myself. I'm not gonna risk anything," and the sheep will just die. A hired hand was only paid to do a job. His interest was himself, not the sheep. And some of us, I was just thinking, some of us can relate to this. Maybe it's our job. I clock in and I clock out. I do my job. I don't care if the company grows or if the company sinks. As long as I get my salary, I'm happy. It's a kind of a similar mentality sometimes. So Jesus was telling the crowd that he's the one who is going to lay down his life, but not just lay down his life for the Jewish people. There was another flock that has to come into the fold, that other flock he was referring to with the Gentiles. Throughout the 10 verses that we read, Jesus talked about laying down his life 3 times. He also emphasized that he was not forced to lay down his life. He voluntarily laid his life down at his own initiative and with his own earth. No one was able to make Jesus, the good shepherd, lay down his own life but himself. It was his choice, which came out of his love for his sheep, And that sheep, of course, is all of us here. But that is not the end. He also has the authority to raise his life up again. Our good shepherd does not only lay down his life for his sheep, but he also has the resurrection power that raised him up. With the same resurrection power, he can raise his sheep up as well. As we end, I invite Marcus to lead us into worship. So as I was preparing and researching for today's sharing, there was a mention of the word downcast in one of the readings. And it popped up, and I sense that that is something to share as we end. You know, the word downcast came from a situation called cast down. Cast down is one of the most dangerous situations a sheep can experience. What happens is sometimes when a sheep tries to get into a comfortable position or try to lie down, somehow everything within his body, like the stomach, intestine, shifts to one side for some reason, and the body weight becomes in balance and the center of gravity shifts. And if this situation, the sheep panics, the situation becomes worse. And when gravity takes over, suddenly the sheep will find itself no longer touching the ground. The feet will be dangling in the air. And in no time, the sheep will find itself on its back with all four legs pointing upwards towards the sky. The sheep goes into a situation where it cannot help itself with these four legs up in the air. There's nothing much the sheep can do. And if left is in such a situation and such a position, the sheep can die within a matter of hours. Somehow there's a lot of biological reaction that is happening within the sheep when he's in this unusual positions, like gases building up in the abdomen, lungs are being blocked, or things like that. So there's a huge danger when such cast down situation occurs in a sheep. And that is why a good shepherd never takes off his eyes of his sheep when he's shepherding them. When he finds one of his sheep cast down, he would immediately run towards the sheep and would gently and slowly roll the sheep to its side. Then after a while, he'll lift the sheep up into an upright standing position. And as he continues to evaluate the cast down sheep's stability and situation, sometimes he will massage the legs of the sheep so that the blood circulation can keep going. And not until the sheep has fully returned to the normal posture, the shepherd will keep helping the sheep. Then once the sheep is found, is balanced, and can walk around normally, the shepherd will send the sheep back and join the rest of the flock. Reading these, you know, what is the process of this called in shepherding? It is called restoring. What it means is basically bringing a cast down sheep back into its feet and upright position. During the whole process, the shepherd gives his full attention to the cast down sheep. And if you are feeling outright downcasted today, where there is despair, hopelessness, and depression in you, remember the good shepherd is there with his full attention on you to restore you back from that cast down position to an upright and standing positions. We have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who never takes his eyes off us. If you are feeling downcast, let's spend some time to talk to him. Or if you know someone who is going through some difficult times, lift that person up to the good shepherd. Let's worship and pray. Thank you.
Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find me thine own. I hear the shepherds thy strength is true. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find me thine own. Jesus paid it all to whom I owe. Soon I left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, now can change the leprous mind and mend the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I go. Sin had left a crimson stain. Stood white as snow, and when before the throne I stand in complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Said I left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to whom I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who made my dead. Praise his life far from me. Oh, praise the one who made my dead. Praise this life up from them. Oh, praise the one who made my dead. Praise this life up from them. Oh, praise the one who made my dead. Praise this life up from them. Oh, praise the one who made my day. Praise this life from. Jesus paid it all to
Yes, Father God, thank you. Thank you for the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Thank you that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, paid all our debts so that we can be risen up again, so that we can stand back upright again, no matter what the situation, what the circumstances, even though when we are downcast, when we feel despair, hopeless, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is always running to us and always there to pick us up. Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Amen. Let's turn our attention to the community prayer focus. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through cancer and are having chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's turn to the next slide. Let's pray for people that are ill, but are also in need of salvation. Let's pray that they'll have this encounter with the Good Shepherd. Let's turn to the next slide. Let's pray for those that are going through infirmities. Let's turn to the next slide, please. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs and pray that during this time that they will have a greater intimacy with God, with Jesus at this time as well. That the moment of looking for a job will not go wasted, and there will be a greater intimacy that we build between them and God. Let's turn to the next slide. Let's turn our attention to mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea for open doors for ministry. Let's pray for the missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. Also, let's pray for the persecuted church, especially in the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP on weekend, online weekend gatherings. Let's pray for the migrant workers outreach, the Sunday services, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services and activities, and all meetings. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for Hollywood, Kings Court, Mawan, Southside. And finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. We're thankful that the COVID cases has number have reduced. And let's pray continuously for protection, that there'll be no cases here in Hong Kong. And also continue to pray for wisdom for all the government officials and all the citizens in Hong Kong, that they'll be able to hear from God and they'll be able to be good citizens and also be good leaders that will think of the best for Hong Kong and all of its people. Yes, Father God, I want to thank you. Thank you that you are that you have sent your son Jesus, the good shepherd in our midst. And he's the one who can guide us in green pastures. And he's the one who protects us from the enemies. And he's the one who lifts us back up when we are downcast. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. Thank you for everything they've done. In his name we pray. Amen.